Hey, everybody. Happy New Year. So glad to see you. I don't know if it's just me. Did the lights go up? Or is it still dark like we were in the worship time? Okay. DJ, will you hook me up just a little bit so I can see everybody's face? Because, you know, you hear voices and you don't see anybody. They get kind of spooky after a while. Oh, my goodness. I am so glad to see everybody now that the lights are up. I want to start off and just commend you all for being here the very first Sunday of 2018. Yeah, way to go. Way to go. They say to begin as you plan to end. And so it's my sincere hope that you are with your family, with your friends, plugged in week after week in service, that we get to see you, that we get to grow with you and just cheer you on week after week after week. I had some things planned for today, but I know how I am. I haven't seen you guys, it feels like, in a month. And so I just gutted out our outline for today. We had all this stuff, and I was like, no, I know me. I'm going to see everybody's face. I'm going to get too excited. So I'm just going to gut that stuff out now. So if you're looking at your paper handout or outline, you'll see scriptures and a space to take notes. If you're on the app, you'll see the stuff that I didn't have time to gut out. So if you are one of those visual people and you're using the app, I would recommend you going to use the paper today. Did you guys have that time where you reflected over 2017? Did you take that time? And as you reflected, oh, let there be. And as you reflected, did you have that, you come to that moment of gratitude? See some of you nodding. That's good. If you haven't done that, it's never too late to be grateful. It's never too late to be grateful. There's going to be a time in the message today that we'll have to just reflect together and to celebrate and to applaud the goodness and the faithfulness of God. We'll get to do that together. What I want to do now is tell you about a lie that I was tempted to believe. The liar whispered in my ear. He said, "It's okay if you don't push the word as hard, because people don't get as much out of it as what you do." And when I heard that, I realized the liar was trying to shut my mouth, was trying to silence me, because that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said that to live, a person has got to feed on the word that's coming out of the mouth of the Father. That's how I knew that was a lie. Jesus thinks so much about the word that he calls himself the word. In John 1, the scripture reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you fast forward down to verse 14, then it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Now, I figure anybody that calls himself the Word got to be serious about words. And even deeper, serious about truth. And so as we start the year off, we got some things to think about. Because you, I don't know what you've read or what blogs you've seen or what Instagram posts you've seen or social media posts or all different things out there. But I want to see God have his best year yet. Woo! Is anybody with me? Yeah. That's what I want to see. I've tried and failed enough. Hey, Lord, it's not about me. I know that that's a dead end. But I want to see you have your best year yet. That's what I'm hungry for. That's what I'm after. Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Not about what I could achieve in my own strength. Not about the goals that I could set. But God, what are your goals? What about your good plan? And so you are in here today because you needed to hear, just like I need to hear, that 2018 is about God having his best year yet. Don't fall into the deception of what our culture is saying about you can have it all, be it all. Blah, blah, blah. Where we put ourselves in the center. It's a place we were never created to be in. Well, how can God have his best year yet? How does he do it? He does it by his word. He does it through his truth. If I'm going to give myself to him, I'm giving myself over to his truth, to his heart, to his compassion. I'm saying, God, empty out what I think that is wrong, that is false, and put your word in me. The scripture reads, the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. I'm doing an inventory of what I think to be true. And I'm saying, God, if it's so, line it up in your word. Show me in your word. Prove it so that I can walk it out. Take a look with me at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, meaning Paul, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul was talking to a group of people who understood things before Jesus had come and sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God. These people, if you're familiar with that term, Old Testament, were used to seeing animals sacrificed on altars as a payment for sin. So he says, those animal sacrifices, they're not necessary anymore. Because Jesus, your substitute lamb, has given his own life, has given his own blood to pay the penalty for sin. So in view of God's mercy, because Jesus paid the price and you don't have to go sacrifice or slaughter animals anymore, he said, present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Oh my goodness. In view of God's mercy. When you look back over 2017, I hope that you saw the mercy of God. I hope you said, I deserved worse, and I deserved the absolute lowest end, but somehow I got the best. Because when we do that, we put ourselves in a position to offer ourselves up so that 2018 is God's best year yet. Because if you're being honest, that wife you have, you don't deserve her. That husband you have, you don't deserve him. Those children, that job promotion, that's the mercy of God working through all of our lives. That makes us take a step back and say, well, God, I know who I really am. I'm not deserving of anything, but you saw fit to bless me. And that gratitude wells up in our heart, and we bring that to the world, to Jesus every day as an offering and say, I know I'm not all that. But somehow you see fit to use me in your service. Oh, so it is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to serve because I know how you served me when I deserved the penalty. I got a reward. If there's anybody in here like that, walking out your Christian faith, walking out following Jesus, it shows up in your behavior. The people who say, wait, I know that I could not be responsible for all the goodness in my life. It is by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. And that mercy fills us with a gratitude, a deep gratitude, and we find ourselves serving our families, serving in the workplace, serving the community of believers, serving wherever we go in view of God's mercy. He says, just look back over your life in view, in vision, in sight, in memory. Just go think back. It could be something as, I deserved that parking ticket, but that parking meter didn't make it. You ever been there? I'm in Pasadena, so I have that moment a lot. You know, you put your card in and you get your receipt, you put it on the dashboard, and you think, okay, it's only gonna take this much time, and then everything's going on, and you're like, ah! You run back and there's no parking ticket there. You say, praise God, because I know that I deserved the penalty. When you see arrogant people, self-important people, that icky sense of the word self-made, they think they're deserving of all the good that they see in their life. They think they did it by their strength. I deserve this because of this, that, and the other. Sometimes we fall into that thinking. It's so stinky, right? Like nobody wants to be around us because we think that everything that's like good in our world, well, I just planned my way there. I just saved my way there. It was the grace of God that blessed what you offered. So in view of God's mercy, he invites us to take a look back over our life and to see his hand of what could have happened but didn't. And then our hearts fill up with gratitude and we say, well, God, you can use me however you want to. Because you saw the best in me when I didn't see it in myself. You can have my life. You gave me yours. And that's how we make 2018, God through us, God's best year. The scripture gives us in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive, strong word, deceive yourself. Say you listen to it. If you merely listen to it, you deceive yourself. He said, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. God, I want you to have your best year yet. And there's a role, there's a part that I get to play. I'm not going to just hear what you say. I'm going to respond. And so not deceive myself. Sometimes we sit down and we say, gosh, all the things I know to do that I just don't do. Where we take that moment and just be honest and say, wow, if I did 5% of the things I know to do, I would really be doing some things. When we're just real like that. So I have to engage with the word in such a way that I'm thinking about what you want me to do, 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 what you want me to do. Not just, we fall into this trap. Oh, that pastor really said that really well. That was so good. I hadn't heard it presented like that before. That was cool how you said that. I'm going to go keep on doing what I was doing. We live in an age, because of our access to media, that I can hear any preacher, teacher, pastor, TED talker on any subject. And it just, this sounds so good. And I remain unchanged. And each Sunday we get the opportunity to say, Lord, there's a course correction that needs to happen somewhere in my life. Just give me an instruction. Tell me what to do with what I've heard so that I can bless my family, so that I can bless my church, so that I can bless in the workplace. Because I know you've made me to be a blessing. So things might not be working right if I'm not able to walk that out. If people aren't more blessed because I'm there, something might be wrong. So I give myself as a living sacrifice, listening for his instruction to do what he says. Some of you are familiar with this. One day when I get to heaven, Lord, I'm not trying to get there too quick, but at the same time, I just think about the story we see or examples we have of the folks who are following Jesus gathering together to discuss the word, to dialogue around the apostles' teaching, Acts would say. And there would be discussion and a meal around the word, around the truth, where people were coming together for the purpose of loving Jesus together and loving one another. And they use the word as the basis for conversation. What does that passage mean? And what does it mean for us today? What could we do as a body of believers to walk out what God wants to see done in the community, in our homes, etc.? And I think about how different it looks today. Ned, do you ever think about these believers, they gather together for the sole purpose of discussing the word and eating and praying and then going out into the marketplace and turning it upside down. And then you look at what we have today. Can I talk like this? Okay. It's like, what's this? What's this? If God's going to have his best year yet, he's going to do it through a people who are in his word, who are familiar with what he says and who are interested in what he's got to say, who will prioritize his word above other things. Because can't you see, I'm sure you see it, how I see it and how I feel it. the world is in need of love, of light, of wisdom, of mercy. And it comes because the word gets in our heart and it becomes flesh. That God is going to speak to us through his word. And then other people are going to see that word and they're going to be benefited because the word became flesh. Love in me walked out daily. Oh, Kate, I know you as a lover because the word is being fleshed out in your life. Jeanette, I know you as a servant leader because I see the word becoming fleshed out in your life. Oh, I know you as an intercessor because you're the first to pray. I see the word being fleshed out in your life. That's what he has in mind. So when I come on a Sunday sometime, I'm just thinking, wow, how strange it kind of is. I can say that, right? It's like, huh, listen to one person talk, and that's supposed to do it? We need teachers, we need coaches, we need speakers, prophets, evangelists, teachers. But the scripture deals with a people who are devoted, who have devoted themselves to the teaching of truth, to prayer, and to eating together, to ask, what does this mean for me? So it's not about 1 hour out of 168. That's where God has taken us. He said, oh, I want you to know my word. I don't want you to know what Stephen Furtick said about my word. Nothing wrong with Stephen. I don't want you to know what PD said about my word. I want to talk to you, me and you. So that when you get together with the assembly, you can say, this is what God has shared with me. I've made my contribution. Y'all be blessed now. That's what he's looking for. His word in our heart. Us becoming what he's spoken about us from the foundation of the earth. So I can't wait to see the blinded eyes that are open, the testimonies of marriages completely restored and raising up other marriages, the testimonies of new marriages starting that we'll see because the word is becoming flesh, because we're hearing what God has said. And we are unapologetically walking that out. I'm gonna love you if you like it or not. I was sharing with a group this morning that is so strange to me when, and I appreciate, I'm a teacher obviously, so I appreciate any kind of tool or technique or tactic that helps us learn, that helps us piece information into smaller pieces so that it's digested. I'm all about that. Like, help me understand. But when we open the word, when we check the scripture, we just have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? And go on the tremendous journey of research. Depending on who we read, somebody on this side is going to have this perspective, somebody's going to have this perspective, somebody's going to have that one. I think that's all fine and dandy. But God, you lead me, and God, you speak to me, and God, you make this thing practical in my life. Because I want to know what you meant when you said that. What does that mean for my family? What does that mean for this church? What does that mean for this city? Make it plain for me. We use SOAP, scripture, observation, application, prayer, great tool. But you don't even need that. It's a hunger. Hunger for what God wants to do through me and through us that makes me open the word and say, now what does that mean for today? And I might have to go lots of different sources and get a council of information and pray through and sift through and study. But he's worth it. This one who has shown me so much mercy, he is worth it. So I don't know where you are in your journey of seeking God's truth, which shows up in a lot of different ways, but I'm talking about the word. I don't know where you are with that. But I know that there are people in here who are following Jesus and haven't read through the Bible yet. That would be a good place to start. I'm gonna read the Bible this year. I was telling a group, if you read it straight through, it takes about 56 hours. Not that anybody would read the Bible straight through. Don't bother me, I'm reading this Bible. Day two, I'm still reading it, hold on. I'm almost there. But wherever you are, start. This week we're reading Acts chapter 15. And when we read any of the scripture, we get exposure to things that God has done. And I know that in this day, in this hour, what he has done is supposed to be a floor and not a ceiling for us. But if I'm not exposed to what he has done, my expectations are going to be tonight-y, as they say. Tonight-y. But when I'm looking at Paul talking to this proconsul about Jesus and what Jesus has done, and there's this guy trying to block this conversation, and then Paul looks over at the guy with a word of knowledge and says to him, "This moment you're going to go blind." It's like, wait, what happened? Wait, what just happened in the scripture? We're missing a level of exposure that limits our growth. And if we are no longer willing to learn, we better check what kind of salvation we have subscribed to. Because if we stop growing, we might as well die. Can I say that? Oh, if hell, that just is how it is. Well, you know how it is. That's dangerous because nothing in our world is neutral. We know it. We have these moments where we say, oh, wait, yeah, he's right. Nothing in the world is neutral. And so if I'm not advancing, I'm probably falling away. Whew. And I can think of the times when I've wondered myself, and by the grace and mercy of God, he's brought me back. And I wandered away, and he's brought me back. And I wandered away, and he keeps on bringing me back. And I know today he's bringing us back. Yeah, I know it, I know it. So what do you do with what you've heard? For some of you, it's going to be, hey, I have at least one person I know who would really enjoy a 30-minute discussion about a Bible passage. So I'm going to be intentional about that. Just think about it. As long as I am learning, as long as I am growing, I know that me and that relationship with God is okay. But as soon as that's not there, the scripture says, watch out, beware. I want to take a second and close in a word of prayer. And the worship team is going to come and declare words of faith and words of hope and words of victory and triumph and lead us in that. I want to invite you to pray with me. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise today. We recognize that it's not by any strength of our own that we get to be here, but your blessing, your grace, your breath in our lungs. And so we ask that you would lead us in being living sacrifices, that you would have your best year yet in our lives individually, as a families, as churches. Help us to see the truth and walk in a freedom that we were destined for, that you destined for us. In Jesus' name, amen.